Welcome to Positively Psychic. Positively Psychic. 2 hours of fascinating interviews and call-ins with your host, the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson. Positively Psychic. During the show, Mark will invite you to call in to speak with him and his guests. Call in for a free reading and contact your guides, guardian angels, friends, and loved ones on the other side. Positively Psychic. Join the online chat to share thoughts and experiences with like-minded souls at www.para-x.com. Positively Psychic. Listen in now as the Positively Psychic medium, Mark Christopher Nelson, interviews leading experts in the paranormal field, takes your calls, and answers your questions on Positively Psychic.
Come out and communicate. And I watch her on the screens, and it's actually amazing what she can do. And the pictures that we get together are just incredible. Like she was saying before, we have a really, really great following so far in what we've been doing because we've been successful in every single case.
Well, Tara, just so everyone knows, Tara Mead is the case manager for Pacific Coast Paranormal. By the way, what is your site? If people want to, during the show, have a look to see, to learn a little bit about you guys, where do they go?
I have a PC Paranormal on MySpace, and then I also have Pacific Coast Paranormal on Facebook right now. We're putting up a new interactive site, but it's not finished yet, so it'd kind of be useless to send people there right now.
Well, it's. I also wanted to let people know that as soon as we, Barbara, we should tell it right now. Tara was very kind to send some of the incredible photos that you guys have taken, just a sampling. But it's Mark Nelson web blog, marknelson.weblog.com, weblog.com, and there when you get there, it's going to say Positively Psychic blog. And Tara was very kind to get some pictures up, or give us some pictures, and so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so can you tell how many people are in your group, and where do you find yourselves doing most of your investigating?
Well, there's 5 active members in the group right now that we take on location. Most of the places we go are private residences. We get contacts every day from people having something going on. So it's pretty much taken up most of our time.
Well, I can imagine it. I mean, that and I'm looking forward to you guys. I want to let everyone know that Stefan and Tara have invited me to join them on their investigations, and I'm really looking forward to that in the near future. It's really cool having a chance to, for Barbara and I to get out and to start looking at our own backyard. I mean, we've been into L.A. We've been around the country ourselves. We've investigated a little bit in the Midwest, up in Maine. We've got relatives up there who told us about some places. And so it's going to be really nice to take a short ride and to find some fascinating stuff going on.
Yeah. There are quite a few homes in the area all over the place. And I believe we do have a great deal of cases with Chumash Indians, which are located up and down the coast. Mm-hmm. We're finding a lot of the children in the homes that we deal with speak of or see or hear or awaken by little boys or little girl Indians. They all describe Indian children. And our last case actually has a communication with a shaman that travels through. And this case of ours is she's a hospice nurse, this lady who is wonderful, and is very open to what she sees, and it's fascinating. So this will be up definitely on probably YouTube fairly soon.
Well, I have to tell you guys that I back in college, I had a chance to assist a Chumash Indian Native medicine man. There's a little story about them. Part of their lore is that they believe that there are these weather stones that their ancestors dropped off the coast of California, which acts as a buffer or a shield or an attractor of the fair and mild weather that we have in central to southern California. Well, archaeologists back in, like, I guess it would be the 80s, dug up or found actually a stone that the Chumash described as being one of theirs. And they actually had to sue a museum to regain control of it. And then it just so happened that we were out on San Miguel Island, a friend of mine and myself back in college, and we were out goofing around, just sailing around, and we knew someone in the Coast Guard, the Rangers that were on the island. And at that time, they had just brought out Chumash Indian medicine man and his assistant to drop these stones back in water. And so because we had just landed, they knew us, we knew them, they asked if we could bring the stones out. And so we had the pleasure of having a Chumash Indian ceremony on the boat, and then they dropped one of their tradition, one of their weather stones, back in the water off of our boat. So it was a cool experience. So I really am looking forward to getting a chance to connect with some of the Chumash spirits. This would be a first. I've dealt with them in the flesh, now having a chance to. I mean, you guys are fortunate to be working with them in spirit.
Yeah. Awesome.
They appear to be very peaceful cases, and part of what we do is educate families and the children, and once we're done our job, we move on, but always come back to help them, always leave an open situation where they're always welcome to call at any time. And then it seems like it's somewhat seasonal, and it's just amazing what I feel we can accomplish, say, without a medical degree, to go in and actually help someone sleep better and deal with life beyond dusk or during the day.
Wow.
So we have a lot of wonderful proof, and we've made a lot of friends through our cases, and we have so many more. We're backed up, and I'm looking forward to every one of them.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys, we got a lot of ghost investigators out there, and I was curious myself about some of the equipment that you guys bring with you on your investigations.
Uh-huh.
Like what kind of cameras and meters, and what type of things do you bring with you?
Well, as far as the scientific aspect of ghost hunting, so to speak, we definitely bring out DVR systems, night vision cameras, static cams, anything that can help you see in the dark naturally, which, of course, you can't see in the dark because you're walking around in darkness. We do a lot of digital photography work, some analog photography if you can. We do carry K2 meters, Gauss meters, tri-field meters, digital thermals, basically all the stuff so you can do a base reading. That way you can check the variances of what's happening in the room. Because we'll go into a room that is 90 degrees, and we'll start poking around. All of a sudden, the temperature will drop to like 76 degrees,
wow,
like within a couple of feet. Yeah. Matter of fact, last night we did an investigation, and it was so hot in this place, but when you go into the room that has the activity, it would start getting colder. And there was actually one of the boys walking classes where Tara was saying the Indian shaman was seen. There's like a little vortex there, and they got it blocked off by all these crystals and stuff to kind of hold back whatever coming through. And we put on our night vision cameras, and things were just flying in and out of there, just going crazy. To stir up more activity, I went into two of the rooms that were the hot spots, and I did my own personal Indian dance for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that started generating activity, but, you know, it was pretty hilarious. And then a little boy had a ukulele, and I started singing a song to the Indians, and that was generating activity. And then he gave me a guitar, and I did like a blues rock and roll Indian song that I just wrote on the spot. And that was generating a lot of activity, too.
Well, I have to admit, you look like you could be a rocker. If people go to your site, you definitely have that working for you, Stefan. So,
yeah, a lot of people say that. A lot of people say that. They're like, you must be a rocker. And I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Well, you're just rocking with spirits, that's all.
Yeah, I used to be a musician before that, before I got into the paranormal field, and now I just do it for the ghosts. And they seem to like it, so, and they don't complain, so all right.
Well, hey, if only they could buy albums.
Exactly. Exactly. But no matter what, though, like we're talking about, we're filming our show all the time, and this episode is going to be hilarious because I'm sitting there just doing my dancing and singing in the closet, and things are flying out around me. It's like, cool. It's going to be hilarious.
Hey, can you guys tell us a little bit about, you mentioned a show. I understand that you're working with a major network. Can you tell us a little bit about the process? I mean, who found who? How did you get started with them?
Well, when we started doing this version of Spiegel's Paranormal, I wanted to go a little differently than everybody else did. I wanted to go in there, film it, instead of just giving them a bunch of pictures and like a couple of video clips. I wanted to make it interesting, so I turned the whole process of interviewing all the way to the reveal and make our own little mini TV show, right? Mm-hmm. So we could do it differently from a different perspective. So we started doing that and making our own little shows, and then everyone started catching on, going, oh, these are great episodes. And then we started getting hit up by different TV producers. And then most recently, we've come across some really great producers that have really worked with us, and we felt really comfortable with this. And we're just going to go with them strictly. And things really seem to be taking off really, really, really good for us.
We work well together. We're exactly what they wanted, and they're what we want. And we had the best time filming together day and night.
Yeah, our investigations are so awesome.
Well, I have to tell you guys, I bet you that, frankly, Spirit, I think that we get a lot of help from the other side. And that I wouldn't be at all surprised if Spirit brought you guys together, and I do want to learn a little bit about how you guys found each other and decided to start working together. But back to the production company just for a moment. I would think that it must have been kind of a little serendipity, or it must have felt like it, when you guys finally connected and realized, hey, this is a good connection.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was like all these missing pieces just kind of came together at the last minute. It worked out perfect. But I'm really stoked on my team because everybody's so amazing at what they do.
Well, tell us a little bit about the wonderful Mrs. Mead here.
Which is funny. In our last episode we filmed, I did a spot and I talked about her for a few minutes. And I'm like, wow, that was so nice you said that. I'm like, it's just true. me and Tara, her husband, we grew up together in a small town. And he knew I was doing the whole ghost thing for a long time, and then he goes, hey, talk to my wife, take my wife on an investigation, she really into this. And I'm thinking, oh, a lot of people that hit me up are just getting their feet wet, they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
I met Tara, and she was real enthusiastic, had some great equipment, was really ready to go, and I said, okay, I'll take you on an investigation. She got some great pictures, and then she got some new equipment and took a picture that really kind of blew me away, and, you know, I go into things, I got to be somewhat of a skeptic because you got to see what's going on before you can really make a decision what's happening there, right?
Mm-hmm.
She calls me, they call me in the middle of the night, and I go, oh, I got this picture, you have to come see it. So I rush up here, and the picture she got was one of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen.
Tara,
have you seen the picture she sent you?
I wanted to find out, Tara, we've got a couple. There's one that's called House Orbs. There's one called Shadow Dude, and if you want to take a look at it again, it's at marknelson.webblog.com. Can you tell us what photo, is that one of the ones Stefan showed us?
No, the one that we'll be talking about would be the picture of my mother. There's a lady with a little girl walking through the kitchen area.
Uh-huh.
It is a DK. It's a black and white shot taken with a DK. It's an infrared digital motion sensor camera. And I pretty much didn't expect to catch anything, but my mother passed away. And about 6 weeks after, I went into the house and I set my camera up in the path from her bedroom to the kitchen because she was diabetic and often would get up and go get something to drink or eat. Well, 3 days later, knowing that my battery would have run out, I went there with my children, and I picked my camera up and went home because it was dusk, and the experience getting the picture was a bit interesting as well. But I did get home and opened up the camera and could not believe I saw my mother come back. She died of ovarian cancer. She passed away about a year ago now. But the picture shows her coming back with the hair, the regrowth, so it's very short.
Yes.
And we got that picture by going in. I was, you know, she had been sick for a while. I had family in town, and I was catching up on laundry. So I was in the garage, and my youngest daughter that is in this photo was running in circles and kind of singing my mom's name. She called her Mimi. It's French for Mother of a Mare. And she was kind of making up her own song. She's 3 years old, and she was the only one there. I do have a 14-year-old that was there that said, "Mom, somebody touched me." And I was laughing, thinking it was my younger daughter. And she said, "No, she's a couple feet tall, and I'm about 5'11". "Mom, somebody touched me." So they exited through the garage, and we left and left the camera, and I did not believe her. But after looking at the photo, our group went to the house and had a great investigation there. It was fascinating. It was extremely active.
Well, I can tell you, it is up on the site. If you scroll down far enough, you'll see it because we're looking at it on the site.
And are you looking at the one that says ghost, Mark?
It says ghost. It's dated 9/20/09.
Yeah, that's 4 months after her mother passed away.
Because that's a mind-blowing photo.
4:57 a.m. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When I saw that, I was like, what? And I showed him my tech manager. He's like, "No way, dude." And I'm like, "Dude, this is awesome." Because she's wearing a hospital gown in the picture.
And it's clear. I mean, you can see her eyes, her lips, her legs, clear definition, and your little girl is running like right by her.
Isn't that cool?
It's as if she's walking with her.
Yeah, I'm almost like she's going to pat her on the head as she's going out of the kitchen to get something.
They have a great deal in common. My daughter and my mother genetically are so much alike, and they're all special to her, all the grandkids, but this one was very special to her, and it was just odd that she was singing the song and running in circles. And like I said, we took off through the garage, and I never expected to see this. And it's fascinating to look, because if you really look at the face up close, she's kind of just moving on through. I'm not sure. She doesn't see what we see, a wall and a pool in the mountains. She appears to see something completely different walking through there.
Well, what I would tell you is that it really, if we said, you know, she's just in a different dimension but in the same space, I've heard that, and I believe, that picture could be make a case for that, because they're right on top. I mean, they're right next to each other, but they don't appear to be in sync. So, but she's clearly there. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yep, they're there together, and they're both doing their thing. It's an awesome picture.
You know, one thing too, Tara. Maybe your daughter is sensitive. You know, I'm saying psychically, because I do think everyone is to an extent, but I also think that your daughter perhaps was, you know, at that age, they haven't been told 100 times that there's no such thing as ghosts. They haven't been told that, no, you can't, the thoughts that pop into your head don't mean anything. She hasn't been indoctrinated in all of that crap, I'll say. And so, especially from you. So, the fact that she might have had Mimi in her head and thinking about Mimi, and then Mimi is there. So, have you thought about, or does she exhibit any other signs of sensitivity?
She's incredibly bright, so it's hard to tell. I have 3 younger ones, and I was told by a psychic that my youngest one was a crystal child, so I tend to not say anything to them, but I do watch them with their behaviors. And at this point, they all seem to be quite perceptive, but she is a bit beyond her years. Mm-hmm. And something about her, you know, she'll just say, you know what, I do believe that. She will say things off the wall that I'll catch that are amazing, that I put 2 and 2 together later on, and that is what comes out of it, just something back invalidates the other situation. So It's a very, very interesting picture. I do have an episode, and actually it's an hour series on A&E Bio coming up on the 17th of this, in regards to this story, which is, we made the story a healing story rather than anything freakier, creepier, scary. It is very interesting because it reaches out to those who may not believe that anything further than just possibly going into the ground. You know, it's wonderful to investigate the paranormal, but some of us take special, wonderful beliefs from each religion and put them together, and it just kind of helps to, for me, myself as well, to know that she's actually here, or others come back, and we're not alone.
That's what it's on my business card. We're not alone. And I believe it. And I believe that our family and loved ones stick around. They aren't there all the time. They're not there to, you know, to pry in our private lives, but they are there to support us when we need it. I also, you know, when I think about the work that I do, I'm there. I mean, I'm not just doing psychic tricks to be, you know, presto, the magnificent. Oh, look, he's going to predict your favorite color. You know, it's not,
yeah, not parlor.
It's not parlor tricks. It's about healing. You know, I when I was a kid, I used to do like card tricks, and I can still do some sleight of hand coin stuff, and that was kind of fun. But this is a spiritual calling, and ultimately, it's about healing. And it isn't just, you know, the physical people in the room. I think that, you know, there are, if someone is conscious, and I believe spirit beings are conscious, they may be open, not always, but occasionally, to changing their own perspective or healing. And to me, healing would be going to the light if and when you can get them to cross over.
So, yeah.
And they don't always want to cross over, and sometimes they just tell you to get out, and they like it where they are. And I'm sure you guys have run into more than a couple of those.
Oh, yeah. Somebody start cursing at you and everything.
Hey, isn't that nice when they say get out? Boy, nothing makes you feel all warm and fuzzy all over when something that you can't see is telling you to get out.
Exactly. You're trying to be nice to them, saying, hey, buddy, don't you want to, like, no, leave me alone. Oh, dude. Brutal.
I had another question. There's been this debate, like with the shows that have a lot of the technology and no psychics, and there are shows that have technology and psychics. But my question is, do you guys prefer using psychics along with the technology, or how do you guys prefer to work?
I use it all. We do them all together. Because I like to, the technology is there for a scientific aspect to back up and verify something happening. Mm-hmm. But when we bring psychics on those stations, the psychics can be in tune with certain things, and they can help validate someone's name or someone's presence or a certain time period that happened there. And then also, when we go back and check our history of the location, it helps validate it so we know who we're dealing with and what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And that's how we go about it, because we want to narrow down who we're dealing with and how we can help them, or what they're looking for, or if they're trying to say something. If they're there to cause trouble, we want to know that so we can help that person get rid of them and deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. Because we put our client first. We're not gonna sit there and try to just make it go, because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of little ghost hunter groups around, but they're pretty much looky-loos that are going to go out there and try to take pictures and stir all this activity and say, well, yeah, you got a ghost here, so see you later. And that's not what we do. We're there to help the client deal with the situation, because they're calling us, and they're upset because their normal everyday life is being disrupted by this.
Of course. I mean, if you've got people in the house, I mean, the idea, it's great being, I did another, a group I've worked with in the past, Barb and I are still you know, working with them is 3 a.m. paranormal. They brought us to a home where children were getting pinched, and they'd seen another child walking through the house, but their children were being touched and annoyed, and there's like a couple little boys that it was very frightening to them. And so I was able to first, they didn't tell me about what I was walking into, and I actually prefer it that way. But I was able to say, okay, I felt like there's like an early 20-something here. I felt like he had there was someone shooting up drugs, and that someone had also died of a heart attack, but not they had lived in the house. When they were living there, they died of a heart attack, but not in the house. And so, and that turned out all to be true. This gang member had been, and I also felt like he's a very aggressive individual. So we tried to speak to, I spoke to the spirit. We were able to find out that, in fact, a gang member did live in that house. He died. He used to shoot up heroin, and then he was, like, you know, trying to be a muscle builder, and he was just freaking around. He was doing a lot of crazy, contradictory things, and it ended up leading to him having a heart attack. And he died, like, right out in the sidewalk in front of the house. So it was good for me to be able to talk to the spirit, and they haven't had the same trouble, you know. And, you know, we talked about, it's again, it's very good to know who you're dealing with. It's sometimes they do want to cross over. I think often spirit is confused. Not all, but some. And those are open to being shown, you know, a way to leave. And I think that they appreciate that.
Yeah.
But not always. Sometimes they like it there and they want you to go. And and then for people like that, I mean, as long as you can show that they are not, I mean, I haven't really, other than this one experience where it was really like harassing kids, I haven't run into something where people were physically being harmed. Because like one of their boys even had like a scratch on the side of his neck. And it wasn't from one of the other boys, and they were all pretty clear about it. And it was freaking them out pretty badly. So I like to think that they haven't had more of a problem since then. So, but the idea is to help the clients and let them know what they're dealing with, definitely.
And another important thing is I feel a lot of people are going out there trying to be ghost hunters, mm-hmm. and they're just dealing with the equipment aspect. You also have to understand the psychological aspect, because when you're dealing with a client, they're going to be all upset and confused and worried, and they're not sleeping well. So you definitely have to have a little bit of background in psychology to deal with those people. And I suggest to everybody out there that wants to get into the ghost hunting industry or the paranormal industry, do some background research, you know, take some classes at the local colleges if you can, to try to get a good understanding of psychology.
Mm-hmm. That, and just the fear involved for everyone. I mean, if you go in there and you treat this like you're in, it's important to remember you're in someone's home. You have to be polite. And, you know, the last thing you need to do is to yourself become a little upset by something you're experiencing. That certainly isn't going to bring any calm to the people you're going to help.
We deal with a lot of families. It all starts with all of the family members sleep in the same bedroom, whether it's a small family, or say they have three or four, to a family of seven.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a wonderful family who have, they have six children, and it happens that the husband didn't, he was a non-believer, he's very much so a skeptic. But the end of the investigation, which we take our time and make sure everyone's taken care of, there's no rush about it. So spending the time with them, he was actually educated and is now a believer, not only due to pictures and DVR footage, but from personal experiences and being open from completely being closed to being an open person, to taking the step to having just 1 second of an open mind, and that they all learn to live with everything. Now they enjoy taking pictures, and they all started with so much fear that they couldn't, it was just terrible. Incredibly big deal walking in. It was a bit overwhelming, and this was a wonderful case. We have a case that we recently worked on where underneath a crawl space in our client's house was a chair attached with four chains.
Chains
attached to it, yes. Nobody knew what that was. We all had our own ideas. I'm not psychic, but I am sensitive, and my sensitivity told me I felt torture, I felt fear, I felt confusion, and our producer came in and felt some kind of similar type feelings, and Stefan had his own ideas. And at the end of the investigation, along with our psychic, can we give her name?
Of course.
Say Miles. She's wonderful. She was so right on with every single thing that she had validated everybody's feelings on paper individually. The crawl space under the house at the end of the show, Tuesday had gone down there and sat and spent a moment and just broke down into tears. She all of a sudden started to say, this is horrible. People are horrible. How can they do this? And described that there was, I believe, a little boy, 7 to 10 years old, who was had a handicap of some sort. And the parents literally tortured him, and they had parties, they were drug users, and they had some odd comments about them in the neighborhood, but this particular place, they starved him to death. There are shallow bones very, very, you know, closely to the surface there. So they actually did starve this child to death.
It's difficult to conceive of that. Of course, if people are using drugs continually, how aware could they be of a child? And that we may be just scratching the surface there. What a tough thing for you guys to have been in there. I mean, it must be tough when you realize, okay, you're standing in the middle of, this isn't just any situation. This is a spot with a lot of emotion attached and a lot of pain and suffering. I mean, you have to go in there with a lot of respect.
Yes, definitely. Because you pick up on all these vibrations and all these emotions going on, it's gonna throw you off. And actually, I know a lot of times when something horrible has happened like that, and it generates so much negative energy. And this is my experience. We've had things come along after the fact and try to feed off this energy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, non-human entities coming along and just trying to hang out there and trying to cause misery and make you feel this horribleness because it's feeding off your negative energy or your sadness. And one of the things she picked up on was one of those was guarding this crawl space area. So we had to deal with that situation before getting into the crawl space area.
So it was an elemental, essentially?
Exactly. A little lower level, almost like a dog type thing guarding its meat or whatever, you know?
Bottom.
Yeah, I call them bottom feeders because I used to like collect fish and stuff.
Oh, sure. Well, yeah. So sharks are like that too, or can be. That's you have to be very sensitive going in. You guys, I imagine that you're aware of psychic protections you can take for yourselves and also to perhaps provide to the people you're helping?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that, is there anything that, I agree with going back to your comment about having the equipment. It's like saying, I'm a hunter. Look, I've got a gun and I've got a orange jacket. You know, that doesn't make you a hunter. You know, neither is having a K2 meter. You've got to have a sense, I think, for human emotion. You've got to have an ability to be quiet, to remain calm, and to try to see past what may be not so obvious. And so, and also to the experiences that you guys have accumulated over time, I'm sure greatly increases your ability to sense what's happening and to try to address it.
Absolutely. Individually, or as a group with the family. We spend a great deal of time. They'll call us anytime. They have questions, and I enjoy making friends of the people and spending the time with them beyond investigating. But as I stated, without having a PhD in psychology, it does feel good to be able to walk in there and truly help these people because there are everything I deal with comes with documentation of photographs or any type of footage.
Well, The other thing too, I would say, Tara, as a parent and someone who's been through, had an interesting life of your own. I mean, I would think that being able to bring some of that experience to the cases, you're going to be probably a little more understanding than maybe someone who hasn't had some of these good life experiences.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of something I do when I'm working with some of the cases where we have small Indian children. I'll almost get on the floor and ask them to play or roll a ball or a small bell or kind of speak to them like I speak to my children, which isn't baby-like, but it's, in a sense, let's play, or can you come out and show yourself? And it seems when I approach these investigations that way, that by opening up like I would here, mm-hmm. I do the same there. I treat the people the same there as I do here. Therefore, I believe I get a reaction because of that.
Have you guys ever had spirits misrepresent themselves? Because I've dealt with, like, child spirits, and then it's occurred to me, like, I want to make sure I'm not getting played.
Yes, it happens all the time. Something trying to appear to be what it's not.
Yes.
Something trying to mess with the kids, and it sounds like it's a child, and it's definitely not a child. I've come across that quite a bit. I've had things try to pretend like it's a demon, and it's not really a demon. It's just trying to scare the family. I've come across that quite a bit too.
In terms of dealing with demons, I mean, if someone, what's the difference in your mind, both of you guys? I'll ask you both to maybe look at this. How do you know when you're dealing with just a negative, ornery spirit versus something that is evil or truly at a different level of intensity and darkness? How do you know? How do you feel?
A ghost that's human, it's going to have human characteristics to it. That's all it really knows. Mm-hmm. It's going to be following the same pattern. It's going to have the kind of same psychological deal with. You know, it's not going to be... it's going to try to make you do something. It's going to try to get you to do that. But with a demon, you have more negative possibility. It has no time. It has no patience. It just wants to do what it has to do. I don't think a demon is going to just, like, go haunt the neighbors like a poodle out in the backyard for weeks and weeks and weeks. I think it's going to go straight for the family and try to take advantage of that and find the weakest link and take advantage of that person.
Start to playing psychological games and trying to undermine them.
Exactly that.
And then when you get a family that feels like they're under siege, having a demonic energy has to be... talk about a sense of urgency. I'm sure you guys probably see those cases, and they would take a lot more of your time and energy and thinking.
Yeah, it definitely does. Because we're dealing with something like that, you definitely have to watch what your approach is. You want to startle, you want to freak it out and make it become more aggressive, more harmful. It takes a lot more work.
Do you guys ever work with clergy of any kind in order to deal with any of these kind of dark energies?
I haven't recently. I have in the past. Really, really bad chronic cases where things are flying, like real heavy poltergeist activity, trying to just calm it down a little bit.
Well,
I've dealt with that in the past, but I haven't done that so far with this new group.
Well, that
I have my portable Rolodex with me at all times in case I do. But I do have a lot of clergy on board, I feel good for me to always have that backup, you know.
I think it's smart. I mean, Barbara and I brought holy water with us. I mean, of course, too, that they may want to test you and push you. I don't want this to be all about this dark stuff, but you realize that this is not just something to be taken lightly, like my hobby is bowling and ghost hunting. You know, you could get yourself in a situation where all of a sudden, I would think that in the movies, they always show these physical portrayals of things flying around, but I think that they could probably do more damage playing with your head, your mind. How do you guys feel about that?
Physical damage is one thing. Psychological is another thing. Because if they get in your head, they can make you think something's going on. They can make you feel a certain way. You're going to feel suicidal all of a sudden. You're just going to be depressed. You're just going to give up on life. That's some of the psychological aspects we have to really keep an eye out for with our clients, because they could be getting affected by all this energy, you know? Mm-hmm. So we have to go in there and clear it out. We, you know, we've done that. There's a monastery not too far from me where I go and I fill up my jugs of holy water. Mm-hmm. I just carry it with me just in case, because you never know. And you use it, and these things kind of just back down. They just back down from it. They don't want to play.
Well, I tend to think that they recognize the holy intention, the loving energy associated with it, and the blessings that it has, and that's not what they want to mix with. That's been my experience so far. I mean, Barbara and I, I'll bring spritzer, and kind of hit a place or surround ourselves with it, and I think it's useful. I really do. Can we talk a little bit more about some of the Indian spirits that you got? I have as a psychic, one of my guides appears as an Indian. He looks like an Indian to me, and he works with me a lot. So I have an affinity for that. That and some of the experiences I had when I was a kid with the Chumash medicine man. But can you tell me a little bit about, like, do you find the, have you found the Chumash Indians, say, near churches or like the missions, or have they been more? Where have you run into them?
Santa Barbara Mission, La Charisma Mission, the Ventura Mission, San Fernando Mission. You come across these things everywhere in those areas. There's a lot of Chumash in those areas. I've done the islands off the coast before. There's a lot of Chumash activity out there.
Sure. What islands have you been out to?
What's that?
I've been out to like the Channel Islands. I've been on San Miguel, which is kind of hard to get to. Santa Rosa, Santa Cruz. Catalina has some stuff out there too, I guess.
Anacapa.
You've been on Anacapa too. I've been next to it.
Yeah, it's the only island out there that actually retained its original Chumash name.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Anacapa means island of the sea.
It's a rough-looking island. It's not easy to get onto, so far as I know.
Yeah, they drop down this little spot, and you got to climb up this crazy old ancient rusty ladder to get up the cliff.
I believe it.
But yeah. That island alone is really interesting because there's a lot of history there. One of the founders was named Frenchie, who lived out there. He had a shack.
Yeah.
He had a visitor who came to visit him, and he was mysteriously murdered while Frenchie was on the mainland getting supplies. And this is from the Rangers. There's the park ranger site up there where they used to have the guys staying on the island.
Uh-huh.
Up in the attic, they used to have a box, and in it was a bunch of human bones, like a skeleton. And they have no record of where it came from, how it got there. It's just been there since they've been excavating the island. And they're putting a bunch of deaths on there, of course. There was that one bulldozer guy that went off the edge who died. He got a little headstone over by the lighthouse there.
Hmm. Well, it's a beautiful island, but, I mean, it's got the arches around it. But I don't think there's much in the way of greenery on it, at least or at least not that much. I've just always been very impressed by the stone cliffs and the tough approach to it. So if you've been up there, good for you. I mean, that's actually like the only one I haven't gotten onto yet. So
that's nice. I know the people that run that little the bus to go back between the mainland and there, and they hit me up not too long ago because I guess over Easter. On the Santa Cruz Island, there's a ranch house there.
Yes.
And they had their grandkids and some family members staying at the ranch house for Easter. Uh-huh. And they were all downstairs, and they kept hearing things moving around upstairs rooms and in the attic. Hmm. So they hit me up to see if I want to go out there and spend the night out there and do some investigating in the ranch house. So that's going to be an interesting episode, too.
Well, I would love to, if I can tag along for one of these. I, at that in particular, I mean, I on San Miguel, they had there was a guy that called the King of San Miguel, and they plowed his house down at the beginning of World War II.
Wow.
And that if you go up there, you'll see that they basically just plowed this guy's house, and he committed suicide rather than leave that island. And the reason why they forced him to leave was that they didn't feel, I mean, at the time, they thought that Los Angeles was going to be attacked. They had a CB base out there on, I think it was Santa Rosa, and it's still there. At least it was 15 years ago. If you go in, it's a rather eerie place because you can walk around and basically all the doors are off the hinges, but the roofs are up, and there's a lot of graffiti in and around the place. The CBs used to train out there. But I'd be curious about the location where this guy had the house. But what was weird is that you could see he had a flower bed, and it used to be right by the front door, because they had all of these birds of paradise flowers, and they're still there. It's like they plowed everything over, but these flowers came back after the house was flattened. It's an interesting place.
Yeah, it's got such a huge history of Chumash tribes living out there. I mean, the island, the history goes back to B.C. times and stuff. And there's a kayaking guy I met, and there's some caves out there that are, you got to kind of go through these things. And a scuba diver told me there's a cave underneath there, because if you look at the Anacapra's, like little caves and stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
You could go down to the, dive down by where the shipwrecks are, like the USS Winfield Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some caves in there that have prehistoric writings in there, like cavemen drawings. And there's possibly activity in there, so I'm going to try to get the team to do a little scuba diving trip into the cave underwater, but my tech manager is totally afraid of going underwater, so.
Well,
see how that works out.
I've done a lot of surfing, and I've gone a lot. I've done kind of snorkeling into caves where I swim in with fins and a mask. That would be if I did that. That would be the first underwater paranormal investigation I've done.
So. Yeah. You should definitely come, Mark.
Hey, you invite me. You invite me, and I will come.
I just think that'd be such a good time. You're going out to Anacapa Island or the islands out there, and then you're going to get in the water, and you're going to go see all that amazing stuff out there, the reserve and stuff, where all, you know, you can't just go swimming out there because it's all protected.
Yeah.
But if we go to my guys, they'll show us all the hot spots. They'll take us down to the shipwrecks, and you can go through, swim through the boats and stuff, and then they'll take us to the island and then underneath the caves.
Oh, my God.
And that'll be a good time in itself. Plus, if we're filming it for the TV show, then that's going to be awesome, too.
Wow. All right. Well, maybe I need to get certified in a hurry.
I've been diving for years. I'm ready.
Well, what we did, I've actually helped my, I've been out sailing a bunch of times with a friend of mine since ninth grade. He is totally not a believer and has just said, I believe you believe. And that's like, yeah, that's like kissing your sister. You know, it's like, yeah, I just, that isn't really, he doesn't get it. I love him. He's like a brother, but he thinks I'm a little bit crazy. I'm sure that no one has ever thought you guys are a little crazy, but it's a little tough coming from this friend. But getting out to those islands, there is a great history. And the idea of combining kind of a rough location, kind of an outdoorsy spot with the paranormal is really interesting. Barb has a question. Barbara wants, there's a question from the chat room. Are they allowed to say, no, we can't talk about that right now. But, what else was I going to go with this? Well, getting out there to look at our own local history. And, you know, there's a lot of characters and a lot of pioneers. And the people that lived in those islands, you had to be pretty tough. And that, you know, one thing too, I'm sure you guys have noticed that if someone put a lot of themselves into being in a place, after death, they may not always want to leave. Have you guys experienced anything like that?
We have a case that is absolutely wonderful. It's ongoing at the moment. And not only can places be haunted, but people are haunted as well. And from what we've documented and what we've learned through Tuesday Miles as well, validating everything we've discussed and learned over a period of time, we have a lady who has a cabin somewhere in Southern California, and her family's had this cabin for many years. Upon investigating her home, we thought it was something to do with the area or her home, but in fact, it is, she is haunted by a trapper, by a hunter, someone with heavy boots. And when she tells me, I'm freezing, I'm just freezing. Well, all of a sudden, Tuesday will call up and say, he's on top of you. That's horrible. So you have a mother with two girls, and, you know, it's uncomfortable knowing that there's a man following you in your home. You don't want that. She stands strong, she says, get out, but apparently he's still there. So we have a great deal of work ahead of us. But in the meantime, we have documents and photographs of and EVP work of heavy boots and the child who hears him. Hmm. And by their description and what we feel and what Tuesday has mentioned, everything backs each other up. So you do have a lady who's very uncomfortable. Like I said, you don't want anybody in your house. She she wants to sleep in the sweats now. She feels uncomfortable. And there are quite a few things we have to do slowly, step by step, in a very careful manner to help her out here.
Has she been to a place where something like that may have followed her?
That's one thing. The cabin, we believe he came from the cabin. He followed her many years ago. She has experienced this situation house to house, not knowing what it is.
Uh-huh.
But in fact, now we're figuring out and finding out he's there for her. He's there because he likes her. He chooses not to move on and is there for a reason, and more or less a selfish reason.
Yes. Did she take something with her from that cabin? Is there something of a physical nature that connects her to it? Did she take a rock? Did she take an artifact, a piece of an antique, anything like that?
Specifically, I don't know. They have had this cabin in the family for many years. And
oh, okay. Sure.
Her two daughters, they go every year, a couple times a year, and she has two small children that I'm sure they love digging for metal in the ground. You know, I'm sure they pick up things or have brought home some kind of heirlooms.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure. So, if she grew up around that, or if it's been in her family for a long time, it does stand to reason that it's very possible that that spirit could have had his eye on her since she was a child.
Right.
And another thing is interesting is when we started this case, she never told us about this cabin. It was our psychic we brought on site that ended up telling us about the cabin, and then she goes, oh, yeah, my cabin.
Oh.
So it kind of came together. And then she goes, oh, yeah, this cabin me before. I'm like, oh, well, you didn't tell us that.
Well, that's...
He's definitely a hunter, a trapper, from those mountains in there, and he just followed her home one day.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I hope that she's working at... I'm sure that you guys have given her good advice about how to keep this guy back and all of that.
He's gone over there, done a couple of things, and nothing has happened since last summer we were there.
Well, then congratulations for helping her deal with a really difficult thing. I mean, I know people, we have some friends that listen to the show, and there's one lady that collects dolls, and she has, you know, she goes out and collects antiques. And the lady, she's a friend of ours. I won't mention her name, but she knows who she is. She has a very interesting collection of dolls. And I'm telling you that there are some distinctly bad vibes connected to these kind of, they look like sweet little dolls, but there's something odd about them. It's kind of like Bride of Chucky. They're all so cute, but boy, they sure scared the crap out of me.
Dolls are creepy. One thing I want to mention on this episode, episode two, Karen's in this room, and this little girl's got like fairies everywhere, and there's this one really creepy doll, right? So Tara's got her holding a static camcorder, and she's like looking at it. She's like, oh, what a creepy looking doll, right? Uh-huh. And then she kind of backs down and goes, do you blink your eye? Can you move? And nothing's happening. And then you hear Tara go, I'm going to eat your face off. Funniest thing. It's the funniest shot I've seen. It was so hilarious. Me and the guys, the others, are just laughing so hard.
Three or 4 o'clock in the morning, I have four children, so by that time I'm just kind of laughing.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. But one thing I do want to mention, though, people, I've not seen this. If you go to eBay and type in haunted dolls,
yeah,
the dolls listings coming up, and actually people are actually making containment dolls to put children's spirits in.
Oh, yeah.
What? That's
yeah, it's the most disturbing thing. It's like, these things need to be free.
Yeah.
You know, why do you want to put them in a porcelain doll and put it on your shelf? That's not a good existence.
No.
And they have, they're all these, like, psychics or actually, not psychics, but, like, pagan witches. They're saying, oh, I got the containment doll that has the spirit of a little girl. Even comes with an EVP clip. It's like, that's not cool.
No, that's you're playing with someone's soul.
And you're just gonna like put it in some doll and put it on the shelf. That's messed up.
That's gonna also bring a lot of bad negative energy to that shelf and to the house and to the person who decided, oh, that'd be really cute to keep an essence of a small child there. You know.
Yeah.
But then again, there are people that kick their dogs all the time. So I guess there's all kinds of folks out there. One of the photos that actually, going back to the blog you sent me, was of a ghost cat, and also I'd love to talk about some of the other things. Is that it looks like I see a cat in the background, but then it looks like there's something in the foreground.
Yes, it appeared to me it's somewhat like a little tornado almost, and it was so odd, and I found out probably 2 weeks later that they had to put this cat to sleep.
Oh.
But, I mean, it's hard to say she was a sick cat, but what was there by her was very interesting.
Well, she doesn't appear to be running from it, and I do think sometimes animals are very good at picking up spirit in a place. I mean, how many times have you heard it? It's like, I'm sitting here and I'm fine, and all my sudden my cat or my dog is reacting really badly to something I can't see. Has that happened for you guys?
Oh, all the time. The case that we just did, not the one last time, the one prior to that one, they actually had these little dogs, and these dogs just, like, I don't know what, they're freaking out and barking at the stairs. And that's where there's one hunter, he likes to come down to the stairway. He was running around the living room, but he won't come down the stairs all the way. And these things just are freaking out, jumping on the stairs and barking and running downstairs and turn around and barking again. It's really interesting. And I've actually done an article regarding animal investigators. Sometimes you go to certain locations, animals have certain senses that are much stronger than people's, so they can't pick up on these things. A dog's definitely going to have better sense of smell, better sense of hearing.
Mm-hmm. That, and I got to think that they see it sometimes, because I've done readings for, I mean, I don't do it all the time. I in terms of animal communicating, sometimes they can be surprisingly articulate about what they see. You know, I mean, you think all they care is food, pet my back, you know, I'm happy, my tummy hurt. I mean, it can get more complicated. I mean, I've heard them like make reference to names and things like that through they have a limited vocabulary and they're able to use it. So it just, they react so strongly sometimes. I mean, you just can't.
Quakes. I do believe animals do sense things. I do have one home that we went to where I had to follow the cat around and have her on DVR, because everywhere this cat went, she had, and it's definitely not a dust, this was an orb attached to this cat all over it, and they were just following the cat. And you can tell it wasn't dust by the way that they move, the way they show in signs of intelligence. But the animals, we normally ask everyone to put them away or have someone watch them so it doesn't create dust.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, it was very interesting to watch the cat and what was attached to it, perhaps.
Now, can we talk about some of the orbs and the photos that you sent? I mean, because you've got some interesting groupings of them. Barbara, can we look at the one that's at the very top of the page? It shows like a string of orbs that seem to be hanging. They look like they're in a row over the house. And they seem pretty large. And then there's this weird kind of swirling thing. Like on the roof, and it looks like you could say that that's a figure of someone either standing up or something. But I don't know if the orbs were the image, but when I look at this, it looks like there's someone standing there.
And where was that taken? Like what area?
That is in Southern California in a Thousand Oaks. And this, if you actually look very closely to the picture, there's no face on this. You can't tell whether it is angelic or demonic. There are the two large orbs above it, and the very small one is the moon.
Okay, and, the moon is fine, yeah. But, you know, it almost looks like it could be a wing. I mean, if you mentioned the word angelic, and then I see, like, two flares of energy that seem to rise up. I mean, if I wanted to be a little imaginative, or if you suggested to me those could be wings, I might go, yeah, what is that, you know?
Well, it does. To me, it looks like wings. And it looks like it's just kind of landed and just planted itself with not physical arms or legs, but some kind of a... it is just my most unexplained photo, along with a few others there. But to me... no one can explain that one. That is just a really odd picture.
Yes, it is.
That's why they say they come out for me. Wherever we go, we just take a lot of photographs, and we had come back from an investigation and went over to the home here and just started kind of taking pictures. And when I took this photo, I had no idea anything was on it until the next day, in which case there would be another photo I believe I've sent here with some type of odd spirits with little, it's like a bubble with some kind of a light or spirit inside of it. They came...
It says glow? Is that what you labeled glow?
Yes. It's under the strange light.
It's a very that's not like from a camera reflecting.
Oh no, I can actually send some more because I'm not sure if you received this one. However,
she's talking about like to the one that says strange light.
Yes.
Yes, and it's like by an air hockey table.
You see?
Oh no, that's a different one.
No, that's the one that's the one that's glow.
I see it. There's like one above it. Three lights in the sky.
Okay, that's pretty odd. That's pretty
you look at those little white dots. There's five of them, and so they're stretching up.
They move from the garage area towards the tree, which is an apple tree. And I have a series of those photos where they come in one by one, and they all of a sudden come in a series of five with two down, somewhat like a lasso. And then you see off to, part of the little house in the back is a playhouse for kids, which is only a piece of, it's just wood. There's no electricity running to it. And I saw some type of a light on attached to it. When I looked at it, I realized I kind of I just enlarged it and saw like a little saucer with like a blue and a green flame on each side. And then there was one in the tree. And then there was one of those little bubble spirits or whatever they are inside of the tree with it. So it's paranormal, of course, but it's unexplained possibly elemental spirits or...
But in a spaceship?
A spaceship, I don't think.
I was going to say, this is more like a UFO.
I just, for the record, I do ghosts. I don't do UFOs. I don't have Bigfoot or stuff like that either. But hey, she's getting pictures of weird UFOs coming out of these investigations, so I'm not really sure what to think.
Well, I think this is the first photo of ghosts showing up in spaceships.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, what's going on
I'm
here?
I'm looking at it. It looks like these little images have got, like, glowing tails coming off of them. You know
yes. Almost, yeah, they're really bizarre. You know, and if they're quite colorful, and some of them are just such a beautiful blue and purple and red, almost with a rainbow of colors. It's such an oddity.
You guys, we've had a couple of guests on the show from England, and they talk a great deal about, we had them on to talk about crop circles. One of the phenomena that associated with crop circles are small lights that seem to fly or appear over an area right before a crop circle appears. Like, you know, that night or that day or whatever, they'll photograph, and they'll see these things that I have seen on camera that look like ghost spirit. Like, you know, you might see a little ball of light that's like, that's not a fly. That's an awful weird. That's not what it is. It's something else. Well, they've had it on a larger scale on a field.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they did come with the little saucers. Huh. They were all together. And first they appeared, and then I noticed in, I think, the fifth picture I had taken, there were a few of them along with the two UFOs and one of the little spirits in the tree, in the apple tree. So I really looked that photo over, and when taking them, I had no clue that there was anything there. And I usually look at the camera, but I couldn't tell on the digital camera that there was anything there till the next day, putting it on the computer.
Well, you know what I would suggest to Tara is that if, let's say, you went to see a friend and you knocked on the door and they never came out to see you, and you did it again and again, you would not pay attention. Or if there's this is the way it is with spirit. If people who are not sensitive, not aware, are out just roaming around, and spirit is trying to get a hold of them, and they're ignored, they're not going to pay, you know, they'll say, I give up. Conversely, too, I think that spirit has the ability to say, she gets it, he gets it, I'm going to go to that one, because, or I'm going to go to her, I'm going to go to him, because they get it. I think that spirit actually, a lot of ghosts, however you want to describe these spirit beings, they, I think, can get into your head and see, okay, this one's sensitive, this one isn't, this one is aware. I'm going to put my energy into, I want to be acknowledged, so I'm going to him, I'm going to her. Don't you think that happens for you?
That's the feeling I get when I get these photographs. Something just tells me, take pictures. And my family, they tend to make fun of me everywhere I go because I take pictures. But look what I come up with. And I do agree with that. I do agree there's a type of communication because I have odd pictures of orbs, which can very much so be considered dust. But when you have one that I found one that was a very pretty color green, so I just happened to enlarge it, and right in it was this lady's face, and it was just—it was not matrixing; it was outright. You could see the pupils in her eyes, and I just, upon seeing the last breath of someone that had passed away in my life, saw a ball of light come out of them and. It was white and orange and red, and it just shot around the house and then it shot out the window. And that's the first time I thought, what the heck was that? And that's why I studied them and learned we're spirits and we are energy, and that is what I tend to enjoy watching on the DVR when they show intelligence.
Wow. What Barbara's got it.
Yeah, Tara, we had a question from the chat room, and it was from Ghost Hunter, and he or she wanted to know, are you the only woman in the paranormal group, or are there other girls there, or what's the makeup of your group?
We have, I'm actually also, as well as a case manager, a investigator, and we have a very good friend named Laura who is joining our group. She's in training, as well as my husband, and everyone has their own ability, special ability, behind cameras or whatnot, and we have a girl who does have great capabilities of showing signs of being able to photograph spirits. For instance, we went on a case, and she felt something go through her, and we had taken a photograph, and with her hands up in the air as if she were kind of pushing the wind towards me, showing me what that felt like. We have a picture of her with this dark, dark cloud over her, a dark, dark shadow, a few of them. And at that particular home, that particular evening, she and I went into the back room, and we were trying to do some EVP work, and I simply had started to say, possibly, there's someone on the other side that may be waiting for you. Why are you here? They tend to scratch one of the little girls that lives there that in her bedroom. So upon asking that question, we didn't get an answer, so we slowly walked out of that bedroom. And upon closing the door, about a third of the way, I heard this most intense growl. Sounded like a really huge, mad grizzly bear. I mean, it was really creepy. Not the first time I think I ever screamed up an investigation.
Yeah, well, I've seen the image. It's pretty amazing.
Is that the mist? There's another one that it says mist, and it's just this huge, like, cloud, like mist in front of the whole camera. In the same area, that same house. Can you explain that one?
Yes. That is a very interesting photo. Actually, there are quite a few to follow, which I can send you as well. They all started with the first little creature, I call him, on the roof that you saw that looked with the one with wings.
Yeah.
That's the first picture I had taken. And then all of a sudden, this mist that you see started to come into the camera. Well, four pictures later, it progressively got closer and closer to me, and then I was bitter, freezing cold. And in Southern California, it's really never super freezing. We have nice, beautiful winters as well as summers. And I proceeded to get these right on top of me. So being that I was late and I was alone, I kind of stepped back in the house, and I went back outside probably 4 or 5 minutes later to go lock everything up, and still proceeded to take photographs. And the thing followed me, the mist followed me to the garage. I had taken a photo and it was right by my feet. And I told it, "You're too close, go away." And the few pictures I had taken after that, it was gone. So I do have a step-by-step photo of it coming in, starting with that odd photo, and then having it follow me to the garage, because the type of mist where you see it on the ground coming up, you can't make that. You can't, you know, I do a lot of photographing in the rain, in windy weather, and all types of elements so I can get comparative photographs. And this, most definitely, I hold my breath when I take pictures, so it's not air, hot air.
Do you guys mind? I'm gonna leave to ask if people want to call in with questions. I've been kind of riveted here myself, but I'm trying to get a. Anyway, if people would like to call in, the number is 818-574-8412, 818-574-8412. Please call if you have a question for Stefan or. Tyra. So, in any case, that I have to tell you that one, what the mist had formed, you could see that if I wanted to use my imagination ever so slightly, that I see like a face in there, more than one face. And so that's, I mean, depending, you know, if we were to blow those photos up, I imagine you could see a lot more, but I see at least one image that I can say, that's nose, there are eyes, there's a mouth, and it, but it's huge, and it's fascinating.
I see it. I see quite a few of my mistyped photos. You can really pull out a what we call matrixing and see, you know, somewhat like when you look at the clouds, you can make five pictures out of one thing. But in these particular photos, there, it's so incredibly detailed that it's hard to determine. I tend to believe when I experience a lot of mist appearing on our, when we're investigating, they'll just form in front of us. And wherever I go, I take these mist photos, even in warm weather.
Well, you must be, again, spirit recognizes that, okay, I can get this lady to point over here and manifest. So why would I try to do that for someone who is going to be oblivious to my suggestions? And so that's why they're on you. I mean, while you may not feel that you could sit and do readings, clearly you have a sensitivity to being able to pick up these kind of images. I don't think anybody can just do that. And clearly not anybody can.
I've had a lot of people ask what kind of cameras we use and like what kind of cameras I use, take a lot of ghost pictures.
Yes.
And one lady I was doing an investigation with, she was a psychic, and she was saying it's not the camera, it's the person behind the camera.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why we've been so lucky. If you look down to the shadow view picture.
Barb, can you scroll to the shadow one?
The shadow, yeah. Oh,
Shadow dude.
Look at that. There's a lot of faces and a lot of things going on in that picture. But really what we call attention is the shadow that's right there in the middle of the
yeah. Bottom. Because it's like everything is kind of light, and then there's like a dark, it's almost like there's black smoke, so to speak, swirled in, and then there's a face in the middle of it.
Yeah.
It's like its mouth is open, almost like screaming. Is that what you see?
Yeah. By the way, I never want you to take a photo of me. I'm going to just crap my pants when I find out who's hanging out. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, my grandfather's been here the whole time. He was always after me to cut my hair. I can't believe. Look, he looks pissed. So
you never know. Could
you
be.
Never know. Yeah, I'm afraid if Tara wants to take your picture, everyone, be afraid. Be very afraid. No, I'm kidding. No, I think that I'm kidding aside, in truth, that's – that's very, very interesting. I mean, to say the very least, I mean...
Yeah, it's on a real simple camera, too.
Yeah. So you mean you don't go to, like... Yeah,
I get a shot of this scene right here, and all of a sudden, damn, this is what I got.
So you're not going to, like, Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters Walmart to pick up these specially equipped cameras?
No. It's interesting. I've gone to those sites, and they're just like that stuff that you can get at Fry's Electronics or wherever, and they're just doubling the price because you get the ghost meter or something.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, again, it's because Tara is turning the camera, and she has her eye in it.
Wow.
That's got to be where
is
it is.
At the same house?
Is this at that same house?
It is. I'll admit it to you. It's my house, but it doesn't matter. I take these photos everywhere I go. I just happen to actually come back and, you know, shoot these things off because I like to just finish my digital, my chips, and I save them. I download everything, and then I save them and buy new chips. So,
yeah,
you know, nothing. I will do anything anywhere. I do nothing in my photographs to enhance them. What is... And I don't even know Photoshop, so I have four children, wouldn't even have the time for that. But I have to tell you, when I do have friends come over, you know, they'll start talking about their loved ones or a brother who passed away who they're very close to, and I'll say, okay, well, let me take a picture, and all of a sudden you have a moving orb or a bright, bright, humongous orb right by their head. So I've done that quite a few times.
Well, I really do believe that if, say, for example, family who has passed on, If you're talking about them, everyone has family who they lost. If you're talking about them and you're wishing they could be there, they are most likely there. I think that they're very aware of the fact that we're talking about them. So, and then on top of the fact, they're probably very aware that you can take out your camera and take a photo and acknowledge, give them some evidential proof that, you know, this isn't just your imagination. I am here. So what if people come to your home for this? I mean, Ashley, I would love to have you take a photo of me, to be honest with you, Barbara and I. But, I mean, if that kind of...
Well,
yes, requirement. We do an investigation with this. You got to do a photo session with us, too.
Well, I'll shake on that. Okay, in front of how many thousands of people who are listening tonight? Oh, and by the way, you guys, we have listeners from Finland, UK, Canada, and, of course, all across the U.S. So I wanted to say thank you very much for everyone that is listening tonight. It's a privilege to have you with us.
Thank you.
Well, in all seriousness, it would be very interesting to have you take some photos. I'm not going to have to stand on the roof of your house, though, am I? I mean, that might be a little... I can handle heights, but no, I'm...
I thought it was the house. I'll go around anywhere and take these photos. And I am headed towards New Orleans soon to go on a little quest to Tombstone because I am related to both Doc Holliday and Johnny Ringo, so I hope to be able to pull something up there. And then off to the Myrtles Inn and Oak Alley Plantation, and a friend who owns a very haunted hotel with quite a few sightings of Civil War soldiers in New Orleans.
Well, let's talk off camera. I would love to have you as our roving reporter. In truth, I'd love to see if you're out one night, if you could, like, maybe give us a little, I mean, I've heard of these places. Many of us have heard about them. Maybe we've seen them, but it might be interesting to get your impressions, especially if you take a few photos. So, if you're going to be in any of these places or maybe that week, and you're going to be away for a few weeks, we could certainly give you a few minutes during the show to come on and say, hey, we've got, Tara Mead, our paranormal reporter in the field. And so where in the world, in the paranormal world is Tara this week? So maybe we could do that. Might be fun.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that off and see if we can't coordinate with you at least one night, if you're open to it. Just to
love to. I'd love to.
Maybe we can even get you to say, here's my photo from the Myrtles. Because I've seen some pretty amazing photos from that place, and I imagine that you could probably take one or two of your own.
Oh, definitely. I'll take them and send them in as I'm going along.
Barbara, you also have here a trampoline ghost, which is...
Two girls are jumping on a trampoline, and there's like a big like mist something or in front of you.
Started to appear, and... It just came from out of nowhere, and it really strange because it came, looks like it's shooting from the sky straight towards her, and she, you know, she was just jumping, landed on her back, and they were giggling, but it just looks really odd how it pretty much kind of shoots through her.
Yeah, it does. It comes directly. It's, I don't know if it's emitting from her or it's making a beeline to connect with her.
It didn't affect her at all. She was pretty amazed at the photograph, but nothing... at all happened to her. She was not shocked or afraid. It just kind of, my daughter warns her friends when they come over, we have things in our yard, but I'll explain to them they're everywhere.
Well,
everywhere. You have to, you know, there are many more people who have passed away, I believe, than those are us who are here and now.
Well, again, if you're like the friendly haunted Holiday Inn, and ghosts know that, hey, this lady pays attention to us and she takes our pictures. Let's go see her. Come on. Yeah, let's go. It'll be a party. Look, they've got a trampoline, too. Cool. And kids, hey, you know. So I would think that would do it. Do you know that has anything happened at your home, or is there anything connected to the property that might cause it to be a magnet above and beyond the fact that you've got kids and that you're sensitive?
No, honestly, I thought it was the house, but it's everywhere I go. And I, with the UFO kind of photos that I had taken, I often wondered if it was because I flashed so often in the dark, if that was something they saw from way up there. I don't know. But on the other hand, wherever I go, I tend to get these. So I do think it's the communication.
Well, I think that that's a unique gift. And actually, tell us again what night the show is. Can you tell us what show that would be? Or should we wait for you to make an announcement about that?
Yes, thank you. It is A&E Biography, and that is June 17th at 10 p.m. And you can find this out. Just Google A&E or My Ghost Story, and it's season one. And when I was there filming, I saw some incredible people myself, and their stories were just as incredible. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, I can't wait to see it, but I'm also looking forward to going out in the field and hanging out with you guys and seeing who we can be in touch with. Stefan, where are you going to be in the near future? Where can the people want to find you? What's next for you?
I'm going to be doing some seminars and doing some educational speakings. We're putting together a SoCal Paracon right now that's in the works. So we're going to be trying to get a lot of people to get on board with that. And I actually want to talk to you a little bit about that off that mark.
Well, I'd be thrilled to participate. Barbara and I would both love to do it. I mean, I did a psychometry presentation on the Queen Mary, and it was pretty well received. And I'm also scheduled to do a conference with people from the Logo Center out in Arizona. They are affiliated or were – they basically believe in the things that Edgar Cayce taught. And so it's a real privilege being able to be in a church where I'm able to give readings. So it doesn't happen very often, and they're non-denominational. But they believe, as Edgar Cayce did, in spirit making communication and contacting people and loved ones coming through. In fact, it's going to be, we're setting this up for February, and it looks like it's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it would be for the Afterlife Convention. And we're going to have people out talking about it, and it's going to be focused on afterlife communication. It was really fun. I had a chance to be on a conference call with Reverend Moody, who's kind of a legend in the field, Raymond Moody. It was fascinating to be able to speak with him about this. So I enjoyed the heck out of it. And in any case, we'll talk
more. Maybe I'll fly out there and check it out.
Well, I would welcome the chance. And hopefully by then all of the problems people are having with traveling to Arizona will be put aside. But I know that the people I'm working with are very enlightened, and that it's for a real healing purpose. Tara, you talked about that earlier. It's about giving people some peace and knowing that there is afterlife, that there is the mind, the consciousness survives the death of the body. And I'm looking at a house that you...
That was from Tanner.
Okay, and in any case, the mind, the consciousness survives the body, and that's what this is all about. Actually, a couple of two of the founders wrote books about losing teenage kids, losing their children to kind of unusual diseases, and then after that, they started to receive communications, and so we had them on the show not too long ago. Fascinating people, and there's a lot of people out there that have lost children, and the idea that they are hoping to have some connection, some confirmation, it's a worthy cause. So I'll tell you more about it, and maybe you guys would want to come. That would be a real privilege.
Yeah, I would love to.
But in the interim, I'm just looking forward to going ghost hunting in the backyard out here in Southern California somewhere. That'll be a blast.
It's at every one of our clients' house. It's the whole surrounding area. I've got some very incredible photos. every client's home, outdoors, indoors.
Mark, one of the things about Southern California is, from the technical side, we are, it's a lot of limestone, limestone, a lot of sandstone, giant roots of marble beneath us. That's why a lot of energy is going on, and it's a, it all acts like a big conductor for a lot of spirit activity.
That's really interesting. I'd love to hear you talk about that, actually. That would be, I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah, it's all big conductors, you know, in a certain area we're doing a lot of houses in. We're seriously, we're getting, like, all the neighbors are calling us because they're all having the same situation. So we got to do a whole block party investigation.
Block party.
And, yeah, and they're all on the same kind of land, the same situation. They're all seeing the same kind of things through.
Is this mostly like out in the Thousand Oaks area?
A lot of it is. Thousand Oaks is a pretty big hotspot.
I would have never thought.
We have clients in Malibu. We have them. It's a lot great deal here in Thousand Oaks, but because we have the Stagecoach Inn as well, and then they have a lot of Indian burial areas, and the Chumash and the museums and whatnot.
Wow.
But it's just very active here. All kinds of different cases, frightening to almost comforting with family members, but very active.
Wow. Well, I wanted to give everybody one last chance to get a hold of you guys. So, Stefan, where can they find you? If someone, let's say someone has a case, let's be very specific. If someone has a case and they want it, Tara, if you're available or not available, how does someone contact you because they're interested in having an investigation? How do they get a hold of you?
They can go to Facebook or my Facebook. And we have a new site coming up, but I can just give you our email address and you can just contact us there too.
Okay, what's the address?
PacificCoastParanormal@gmail.com.
Very good. Pacific Coast.
Just check every day, so definitely. We're looking for people. And I get emails from people all across the country saying, oh, you're going to think I'm crazy, this is going on in my house, or I think I'm losing my mind, or my husband's had enough. But I answer every email. They're not going crazy. I reassure them that, and I try to find out what's best for them. And I am networked with a lot of groups across the United States, even in other countries. So depending on where their location is at, I will definitely go through the trouble of finding the best group for them in this situation and sending a team out there.
Well, Stefan, that's terrific, and I appreciate that. And Tara, again, I would love to have you, we can talk about it off camera, but if there's a night or two on a Thursday where you would be free and your schedule permits, if you wanted to give us a little update as to, I was out here, I was out there, and this is what I saw, we could certainly find a way to get you on for a few minutes to talk about it, because I think that would be, I love the idea of the spontaneity and the speed and the interest that, the interesting places that you're going to. It's all kind of comes together in a cool way.
I would love to. I will definitely do that with you.
Well,
all of country and back, and to get together to have you at one of our homes and on one of our cases, and have your wife as well, it would make us feel, it would be a pleasure. Absolutely.
Well,
we could also, Mark, you know, we could also set up an event at a haunted location, and you can come along. Is there any way you could do your show from the haunted location?
Sure, wherever you want me to be there. Let's just plan, look ahead a little bit, and I can definitely do that.
Yeah, we do it live from an active investigation. Everyone can hear what's going on and be part of it. It's pretty cool.
I would be glad to. And you know, too, one of the things, if there's a place where there's artifacts lying around, I might be able, or if you can tell me about, if you have an item or a piece connected to a place. So let's say we go into a home and someone has a suspicion about this a person being connected to the home and this object. I'm pretty comfortable with reading things, picking them up, and I just start talking. And Spirit has been really generous to work through me, and I can't emphasize that enough. So if I'm without their help, I'm just this guy standing there with a dumb look on my face. So I'm very. It's like, okay, I feel like I'm the ventriloquist dummy sometimes, but that works. So
that works.
I don't mind.
Self-touch.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun, and I get the sense that this is the beginning of a very good relationship.
Yeah, I can't wait, Mark. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a really good time.
Well,
I do have one question for you.
Yes, what's that?
What do you think about that picture with it's taken into glass with the hockey table?
That is kind of trippy.
Yeah,
it's like, what in the world was that? Because it looked like one thing I would tell you that the light is so bright around it. I thought it was the flare of a camera, but it's kind of distorted. So it makes you feel like that whatever's happened there is getting multiplied, just the same way spirit can ride a radio wave or pick up electrical energy from recording equipment or something like that. I would also say too that it because of the brightness, it looks like a cross in the middle of that. Frankly, you know, I don't know if it's just the way the light
is her?
What I see is a reflection of a person, and then just to the left of the person sitting there, it's a very intense light. But it feels
you got to zoom in on that picture and really look at detail of what's going on in that right there.
Because I'll look closer, but I see like organic like shoulders and maybe like facial features is what I'm now that I'm looking closely at it.
And the nose and the eyes. What did you pick up on Google?
When I saw the picture, I was kind of what am I looking at here? And remember that story with David Bowie, that movie, The Labyrinth?
Yes.
And there was the Goblin King and he had all the goblins.
Yes.
It's like one of Jim Henson's goblins.
It does. Well, I see kind of like two bulby looking eyes, and
yeah, there's some ears and horns and like some hair over it and a big nose.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, when you zoom in really, really close on that thing and you scroll down, there's also another image in there. It looks like a lady standing with a robe on with long hair. She's like a psychopath. She's putting her arms out. So this picture is pretty interesting. There's a lot going on in here.
Wait.
In
the picture, is that your reflection, Tara? There's like a woman.
That's her daughter standing in the window.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
To the right of her shoulder. That's what we're talking about. This right, it's like a little.
I see it.
Minotaur or something. Head right by her shoulder.
It's got like pointy ears.
And I've seen this a long time. I've never seen something like that. I was like, what is it? It could be matrixing because of the reflection here, but it's just a bizarre looking picture.
I mean, I'm not trying to read into this. And I'm seeing something that looks animal-like.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to use my imagination and to see, a big bear up in the clouds. I'm looking at something. It looks feline, even. I'm seeing ears that point up pretty clearly. It's got a drawn-out nose. And I see eyes.
Like a troll or something.
Hey.
It's just weird looking.
And that wasn't that long ago I had taken that and had stopped taking pictures for about a week. Because it was just really odd because after I told my daughter, which she actually has the ability to take wonderful photos as well. And I told her, stop taking pictures. And she continued and started to pick up a mist. So I had her go put her things away and waited about a week and couldn't really figure out what that was.
Well, I would tell you that with all of the young children and children, young teens that you have, your 14-year-old, make sure that you do a lot of protection around that place, around your home. Apparently, they're not harming anybody. They're just interesting spirit around you and around them. And I think that your kids actually, this can be quite a blessing for them as they become very aware of all the dimensions of life around them. So,
agree. And they mention things. My daughter will say, she'll look at a picture, she's four, and she'll say, oh, that's an orb. And I'll ask her what it is, and she really doesn't know, and I'll leave it at that. She likes Casper.
I did too, I believe.
people will come over and she'll ask if you want to watch the Ghostbuster.
That's
so funny.
All right, Tara. Well, I'll call you. I'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll talk about if you have a chance to look at your schedule. You know, we're on Thursday nights, and as you move ahead, it may take you a couple of weeks to sort out when you'd be available. But let us know, and we'll make time for you on the show. And all I can say, Stefan, is let's do something soon.
Yeah, definitely, Mark. It's gonna be awesome.
All right,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you so much for being with us, and have
thank
a wonderful
guys.
Night, guys.
Thank
all
right,
you, guys. See you guys later.
See ya.
Take care.
Bye. Well, that was really fascinating. I have to admit, Barbara, I kept thinking, oh, we'll wrap up soon, and you know, but they had some very unusual stories. I mean, we've been fortunate to have a couple of paranormal investigators on. But Stefan and Tara really, the photos are great. And I would say that Tara's unique among the guests that we've had with her ability to take consistently interesting photos.
I know. I wonder what's going on at that house.
Well, clearly, whether she recognizes it or not, she's a spirit magnet. And they are aware that when she picks up the camera, that there's a good chance of them being
something's going on.
Of them being acknowledged. That's what I think a lot of the time spirit is really about. They want to be acknowledged. They want people to know. You know, Barb? What was one of your favorite photos? Was there something that jumped out for you? I mean, we saw some pretty cool ones. Was there one in particular that jumped out for you?
I like those orb balls. That was bizarre. That's almost UFO-like.
Yeah, I know. We're not really into... I'm not a disbeliever in UFOs. Far from it. I cannot explain crop circles or what that potential phenomena is about. But I don't think that, you know, if you believe in one, you have to believe in the other. Or if you consider yourself a UFOologist, I would say that anybody in any of these fields has come to recognize that there's more to our life than meets the eye. And it manifests in a lot of different ways. Barbara, I thought it was really interesting. I kind of didn't pay much attention to that last one until they said, look closely into the light and around that flash or that image. And that's when we started to see things. But I have to tell you, the one thing that kind of makes you have to stop and look. There were two photos of mist around the roof, one that looked like an angelic figure. I perceived it as not satanic or demonic. But it felt angelic because of the wings.
I know, that was bizarre. If anybody's interested, we have a blog for Positively Psychic. It's at marknelson.weblog.com. And we posted all those photos we were talking about. And you have to see this one on top of a roof. It looks like some winged thing, entity is like jumped on top of the house.
Yeah. I would say Barbara and I are going to start paying a lot more attention. We will try to update that. In fact, if you have photos that you would like us to put on the blog, please send them to the site. Send them to Barbara, where would you like people to email if they have photos for the blog?
They can send them to Mark at Positively Psychic.
Sure.
Or is mine Barb?
Barbara. But certainly no.
But Mark at Positively Psychic, if you want to send us some photos, and we'll put them up on the blog.
Also, too, I'm now on Twitter, and I'm going to try to make it worthwhile for anyone who's interested in following me. I'm going to be talking more about some of the interesting cases. I mean, I will always protect the identity of my clients because it's just a moral thing, right thing to do. But I'd like to think that when I can find something in one of these cases or experiences, or just something, I mean, I do meditating every day, and I get some information for myself, I'd love to share it with you. So I'm going to look for opportunities to talk about that. I'm Positively Mark on Twitter, and so Barbara and I are going to try to make ourselves more available. I've had a question today about psychic development. Since I am working on a book on that, I'm very open to talking about it. I also wanted, speaking of books, I wanted to say next week we've got a terrific author who's going to be on the show again. She's a very interesting lady. She's proven to be, she's turning out to be a friend that I haven't met in person yet, but her name is Josie Varga, and she's written a book that I'm pretty excited about. It's called Make Up Your Mind to Be Happy, and it's tips on how you can do that. And the thing that makes Josie, I mean, that subject fit in our show is that it's a very positive outlook on life. She herself is a sensitive. It's so funny. She's one of these people, Barb, that it's like, I don't think I'm a spirit. I'm sensitive. Barbara does this too a little bit. Well, I don't think I'm sensitive, but I see people. I get messages. I pay attention. And it matters. If it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it's a psychic.
Yeah.
Oh.
And can I mention that?
Yeah, please do.
I also want to mention we're going to be going up at the end of the month up to Wolf Manor in Clovis. And if any of you remember on the Ghost Hunters show and also a Ghost Adventurers show, they had episodes at the Haunted Manor. And there were some interesting...
Yeah.
You know what? Which show, The Ghost Hunter, is the one where they heard that voice that said, "I like the one in the hat." That
yeah.
You remember that
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
That was season four. Jason and Grant were in the basement or something, and yeah. they heard this disembodied voice. "I like the one in the hat."
And it was very clear.
And it was for Jason. He was wearing a hat.
Well, we just found out about this morning, too. So I wanted to thank Terry Campbell, a friend of ours, and Todd Wolf. We're getting to know him, too. We're going to be going up there. And, of course, we're going with two of our favorite investigators so far. They're wonderful folks, Joe and Becky Mendoza. They're great people. They're 3 a.m. paranormal. They're going to be going up there with us. So we've got a lot. Oh, and I also wanted, Barbara, we can't forget, this Saturday we will be doing the Paranormal View. With Henry and Beth. So,
that.
Yeah, that's fun. I admit it, I was a total chowderhead. One night, I thought we were supposed to be on at a certain hour. Well, I had the right hour, but I had the wrong time zone. So, this is it'll be a privilege to hang out with them. I was a chowderhead. Barbara will tell you that.
And also, this month, there's an article written up on us in Paranormal Underground magazine.
That's right.
And if you go to Paranormal Underground on the web, they should have it up pretty soon, right?
Yeah, paranormalunderground.com.
Yeah.
Is it .com? Or
yeah, paranormalunderground.com.
Okay.
And they wrote a pretty great article on us, so thank you very much. So check that out.
Yeah, so we're showing up all over the place. And hey, what the heck? Since we're doing shameless plugs, if you want to find us, we're also on Facebook. Barbara's much more the queen of it than I am, but I'm trying to catch up and not to be such a 20th century psychic medium. I'm trying to pay a little more attention. Mark Nelson, I'm in Facebook, and Barbara's there as well. And hey, if you want to reach out and be a friend, love to hear from you. But until then, I guess we should say have a positively psychic week. If you're interested in readings, I am available. Again, at the same place that we asked you to send photos for the blog, mark@positivelypsychic.com. Even if you have a question you would like us to, would like me to look at, and so if you want to write it in and say, you know, for the blog, do you have a minute to look at this question or thought? And I would be very happy to do that. So again, you can find us Positively Mark on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're going to be on the Paranormal View this weekend. I believe it's 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific. And see our friends' magazine, Paranormal Underground Magazine. They do a quality show. We had them on a few weeks ago to talk about, it was the spirit, what was it?
Up in Washington.
Spirits, oh gosh, Karen's going to kill me. Anyway, Wellington.
Wellington.
Spirits of Wellington. So it's a pretty interesting thing. So everyone, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you from everyone around the world who's listening. Thank you for being part of the show. We do it for you, and we hope that you find that interesting. Love to hear your comments. Have a wonderful, positively psychic week.
Yay.
And Barbara, honey, thank you once again for being with me.
All right, and thank you very much, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yes, you will.
Or Saturday.
We'll see you Saturday and then next week and a lot more after that. Take care, guys. Bye. Good night.
This has been a Para-X production, sponsored by CBS Radio. We'll see you next week on Positively Psychic. Hello, this is Barbara Nelson from Positively Psychic with your host, psychic medium Mark Christopher Nelson on Para-X Radio. Mark and I would like to thank all of our listeners for their support of our web radio show, Positively Psychic. With your support, we can keep bringing you the best web radio programming and Podomatic and iTunes downloading. So keep listening, and we'll keep bringing you great paranormal programs from Positively Psychic, with guests like John Searle, Patrick Burns, Marla Gibson, Allison Dubois, and Chris Fleming. So tune in each week, every Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern on Para-X Radio, the leader in paranormal web radio. Thanks again for your support, and we'll see you here next time on Positively Psychic.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.